In this dirty old part of the city.
All right, the soundtrack for the Vietnam War is certainly something that we've gotten used to. But as we were talking before we're going to chat with our guest, I didn't learn a lot about the Vietnam War in high school, and they still cover it, but they don't go in depth. You mentioned this Ken Burns documentary that is going to be 18 hours, and we have a Vietnam veteran, Glenn Haney, on the line with us, who is the author of When I Turned 19, a Vietnam War memoir. Served in the U.S. Army 20 years, numerous awards under his belt, including the Purple Heart and the Silver Star. Glenn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Wendy, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for being here, and as we always say, thank you for your service, Glenn. It means the world to both of us, to all of us listening. Glenn, talk a little bit about your participation in the war. What happened there?
Well, Bill, when I was 18 years old, my brother and I flew to Vietnam together. His name's Wayne. He was 20, and like I said, I was 18. And once we arrived, they didn't really know what to do with us, so they held us in a holding area for approximately 6 weeks. And then my brother went to Korea, and then I reported to my platoon in the AmeriCal division.
Now, was this a choice of yours? Did you go enlist? Were you drafted? Forgive my ignorance on some of this stuff.
Yes, I enlisted in the Army. My father was a career Army serviceman, and we were taught service to country was important. So right after I graduated from high school, I did enlist in the Army.
And Glenn, you put in 20 years, which is a huge chunk of time. When was that decision made that this wasn't just going to be a quick couple of years, but two decades of service?
It was actually after I came back from Vietnam, and about 8 or 9 months after I got back, actually, I got married, and so I decided to go ahead and re-enlist in the Army and make the Army a career at that time.
And I haven't seen, is the Ken Burns documentary even out yet? When does it come out?
No, it's starting this week, I believe.
Okay.
Right? Yeah?
A 10-part series spanning 18 hours. Go ahead, Glenn, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It is out. It started on Sunday, so they've... We're already gone through three parts so far of the documentary.
And you've seen this. We want to get your take on this. There has been some gushing. There has been some critiques. What are your thoughts on the Ken Burns documentary, Vietnam War?
Well, Sunday and Monday was mostly covering the history of Vietnam and what's everything that had occurred up to the point of American involvement. And I guess last night, it started with President Johnson and actually how we got involved in committing troops to Vietnam. What I'm apprehensive about is, as we get further into the documentary, is how the American soldier and the Vietnam veteran is going to be portrayed. I'm in hopes that the soldier and the veteran will get the respect they deserve.
Have you seen or heard anything that would lead you to believe otherwise, Glenn?
Well, politics always comes out, and so if it becomes the documentary stays or becomes very political, then the American soldier that fought in Vietnam may not get his due. And I can say that through my experience with all the men that I was with in 1st Platoon, they're the finest and bravest men that you would ever want to meet and are very honorable people.
You said you're 18 years old, you enlist, you just get out of high school. How were you prepared for what was going to follow?
Nothing can prepare you for war. You can watch movies, you can read books, and you can have people talk about it, but nothing's going to prepare you until you're actually on the ground and you witness war.
Glenn, have there been things that have happened to you over there that you still to this day have not discussed with anybody?
Well, Bill, yes, that's true. Even though when I wrote my book, when I turned 19, it's pretty revealing. But there's still some things that occurred to me and my platoon when I was in Vietnam that's not even in the book, that's very personal.
There are, you know, on Facebook, there's a lot of friends I have from high school that talk about, you know, their sons have been deployed, their daughters have gone. What advice do you have to parents? Because I just don't think I could sleep at night knowing they were out there.
Well, I actually had three sons that were in Iraq and Afghanistan. David, my oldest son, was in Special Operations. Nathan was in the 82nd Airborne Division, and Brian was a Ranger in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, I didn't really talk a lot about war itself, but if I had to tell them again, I would talk about how war creates fear within yourself, and that fear is going to come home with you.
You say you didn't talk about war very much. I think that that's what I'm understanding, that a lot of Vietnam vets have not really discussed things. Is that changing at all?
You know, it is changing. Matter of fact, within the past year, it's the first time I've worn a hat or a T-shirt that announced that I'm a Vietnam veteran. When my book, When I Turned 19, was published, a lot of my neighbors didn't even know I was a Vietnam veteran. I even have a neighbor, I've lived in the same cul-de-sac for 19 years, right across from me, that is a Vietnam veteran, and we did not know that each other were Vietnam veterans. And it's something we never really talked about, to tell people, hey, we're Vietnam veterans, because we were taught to be pretty much ashamed of that fact. And now we're out, we're talking, and we're hoping that documentary will bring people around to realize what good people and what good soldiers and men that served in Vietnam are.
Glenn, something must have happened that changed your mind. If you kept it, and you didn't keep it a secret, but you didn't really flaunt it at all, and at some point you said, you know what, I'm going to let people know I'm a vet. What happened?
I think it's through the recognition that the Iraqi and Afghanistan veterans received.
Yeah.
Now, this is a sad story. You know, my sons came home from Iraq and Afghanistan, as I stated earlier. They had a grand welcoming home. They had parades. They had family and friends and people within the cities they lived greet their aircraft as they landed. I was actually envious of that, as petty as that may sound, you know, for my sons, because we received none of that as Vietnam veterans. So I think we're now coming out, and as the Afghanistan veterans are met on the streets, that people are saying, thank you for your service. And then we started saying, hey, we are Vietnam veterans. And now people are greeting us and telling us, welcome home and thank you for your service.
Glenn, it's a story we've heard so many times, that the guys would come back from Vietnam after, you know, risking their lives on a day-by-day basis, and the American public just didn't know how to react to them. What was that like for you when you came back and America maybe didn't know how to react to you?
Well, I do have a, you know, a short story is when I went out to meet my friends right after I got back, you know, at the local hamburger joint. Most of them just kind of acted like I was gone for a vacation. It's kind of like, hey, Haney, where have you been? And nobody really asked about, and they knew I was in Vietnam, but nobody asked questions, and I didn't volunteer any information. And I was certainly different. I was no longer that 19-year-old kid out of high school where my friends were still that way. So it was difficult, but I was fortunate that, because I stayed in the Army, that I was in a military community and surrounded by soldiers every day. So I think the impact on me was probably not as great as a lot of the people that went in and had civilian jobs and lived in the civilian communities.
In your words, and we're talking to Glenn Haney, he's written a book that I have got to pick up and read, When I Turned 19, a Vietnam War memoir. You've been in the Army for 20 years, received a Purple Heart and a Silver Star. In your words, why didn't America know how to react when you guys came home?
I think because America watched the war on TV, and it was unfiltered. You know, World War II, they showed film of our servicemen fighting World War II, and all the film that they watched was filtered. Mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and wives and girlfriends literally watched their loved ones die on the battlefield or be wounded on the battlefield. And I think that had set the mindset for the American people. And again, when America doesn't declare war, and we send our soldiers to fight, to us is a war, but you know, you're not having the support of the American people or your country behind you.
But it's not your decision. You were receiving orders to go and fight this war. That's why I don't understand why we didn't thank you when you came home.
Well, we didn't either. You know, it was surprising that the American people was actually bitter, you know, show bitterness and to the American soldier. we were doing what we were told to do. We took an oath to serve our country, and just like any other generation.
Do you think about it every day, Glenn?
Every day.
Yeah.
I had 13 platoon members die when I was there, and I say their names every day.
We'll talk more. You can stick around, I hope, Glenn, right? Are you okay time-wise?
Yes, I can.
Glenn Haney is here, highly decorated and deservedly so.
I want to hug you right now, Glenn. I wish you were in the studio.
Well, I feel your hug, Wendy. Thank you.
Well, that's so nice. If you'd like to chat with us, we would love to hear.
The Vietnam War. There's a 10-part series that has started on PBS. Ken Burns has put this together. And on the line with us right now, Vietnam veteran Glenn Haney, his book, When I Turned 19, A Vietnam War Memoir. We have a lot of listeners that would like to talk to you. Are you cool to take phone calls?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
All right. John wants to talk. Hi, John. This is Glenn Haney.
Yeah, I was wondering if the soldiers talked about the strategy of their leaders, of especially like not attacking North Vietnam's. I thought the war was unwinnable if you didn't attack the home base where they were infiltrating from. Did the soldiers ever talk about the leader's strategy?
Well, yes, we did. You know, the strategy, of course, that's a very high level. You know, we were more interested in the support, the fire support from air and artillery. But yes, you know, the bombing of the Ho Chi Minh Trail, there was times that the president stopped the bombing, or the bombing of North Vietnam, they stopped bombing. And we wanted the bombing to continue because we knew that was going to help us. We would have less people we would have to fight along the way.
John, thank you very much for your question. Dennis is on the line. Dennis, you're a Vietnam vet as well?
I am. I served over there in 67, 68. I got hit May 16th. I want to say that when I came back, just a real quick story, that the neighborhood had a welcome home party. One of the, it was either the Sun-Times or the Trib, put a picture of me being welcomed by my folks. About a week later, I received a letter in the mail, an anonymous letter, saying it was too bad I was welcomed home by my parents and not in a casket. So that's not just some urban legend. That happened to me specifically. It's not something that I'm relating from someone else. There was a lot of divisiveness. There was a lot of people just didn't respect what we sacrificed and we did to serve our nation. I'm very proud of the work that I did over there. I think a lot about the people that we deserted. We had a lot of good South Vietnamese people that worked side by side with us. And just want to say to Glenn, welcome home. And I thank God that I'm not one of the 58,000 names that are etched on the wall.
Dennis, thank you so much for your service.
I'm happy for that, too. And welcome home to you also.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
I can't, it just blows my mind to hear this. I was too young to understand what was going on when you guys returned. Maria has a thought on this as well. It just blows my mind hearing it from two veterans here. Glenn, thank you again for being with us. Maria, your thoughts?
Hi. Thank you also, Glenn, for your service. I was a flight attendant during the late 60s, early 70s, and I think there was so much social turmoil going on within the United States, and it never occurred to me until much, much later. So many of the soldiers that were coming back, individuals on flights, they'd go back in the bathroom. You know how tiny the bathrooms are, and then they change into civilian clothes. And it never, ever occurred to me until much, much later that maybe they wouldn't be received very well. And I also want to say, at our local schools, as many other schools do, when we have our Veterans Day programs, that we always ask, you know, the people that served in the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, Coast Guard, etc., to stand up. And you can almost see there's a hesitation with that age group of the Vietnam, like, well, what's going to happen to us now? Are we going to be well-received? And I think it's coming so much more forward how we should be receiving the soldiers. And I am watching that Vietnam special, and I apologize, I don't remember the lead platoon leader, and when they were leaving, where they were trapped on the hill forever, maybe Bill remembers his name, and he was saying this was the finest group of soldiers he had ever served with, and it was so moving to see. So I think we're coming around slowly.
Hope so. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Thank you very much, Maria.
Glenn, help us with this. For those of us that didn't serve, we didn't fight in a war, you did. What's the question that you wish we would ask you, and what's the question that we should not ask you?
Wow, that's a tough question there. You know, I've had people asked about, you know, did you kill people? And of course, that's not a question you ask anyone. I guess the question that you should ask is the support to the country that they provided, and maybe why did they provide the support and others didn't?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Dennis is on the line. He is a Vietnam vet as well. Hang on one second. I hit the wrong line. Bill, can you fill for a second while I do this? You're not going to?
No.
All right, here's Dennis. Hi, Dennis. You're a Vietnam vet as well. Glenn Haney on the line with us.
Yeah, good morning. A couple things I'd like to say. When I was there, I was 20 years old. I was a commissioned officer, which you sort of wonder how you can be a commissioned officer that early, maturity-wise. Majority of people I served with were probably under 25. All we knew really was that the government said to be there because we were fighting communism. If you look at that war and many since, it's all politics. It's all up to the people really in Washington who consistently made bad choices. We didn't really talk about politics much over there. We relied on the wisdom of our leaders and forefathers and did our job. We didn't lose in Vietnam. We left in 72. We were supposed to support them. We did not provide that support. Consequently, the North took over.
Glenn, your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree completely. That's one of the things I've talked about. But first off, welcome home. You know, in my lifetime, we've been fighting wars for over 25 years, counting Korea, Vietnam, and Afghanistan, and Iraq. And it's simply because we have not declared war in any of those conflicts and have some type of plan and resolution of how we're going to conduct a war and how we're going to end the war and what's going to happen after the war. And so that, I think, by not doing that and allowing the president to just do executive orders and commit troops is too dangerous.
Dennis, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate your story.
So, Glenn, based on what we were just talking about with Dennis and with yourself, there's a phrase, those who don't understand history are doomed to repeat it. What do we take from what happened in Vietnam, and how do we apply it to the wars we're fighting now or the potential wars? North Korea is a very, very scary situation for all of us. What do we learn from Vietnam that we apply to those wars right now?
Yeah, North Korea is very scary at this point. Again, I go back, we have to hold our president and congressional leaders responsible. They have to be transparent. We have to demand answers. And again, we have to have the will as a country and as citizens to declare war if that we're going to go into another country for combat operations.
First of all, thank you for being with us today. I loved you saying to the other vets, welcome home, and we can say that to you. Is there anything we as a country can do to make up for the treatment you received when you came home?
Well, I think what the country can do now is the citizens continue to recognize the brave and fine men that fought in Vietnam and just let them know that you're aware that they did do their duty and you're appreciative of that.
Thank you, sir. We
Very
really
moving.
Appreciate everything. Glenn Haney is his name, and again, the book is called When I Turned 19, A Vietnam War Memoir. Pick it up. It's a great read. Thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy, for having me on the show.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got some news, and then Dr. John Duffy joins us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.